We thank Bethany and Chloe for singing for us, and they'll be up in a few moments' time to sing another piece. We welcome each one to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see you here. We pray that the Lord will bless us as we meet together around his precious and holy word. Just a few announcements for the incoming week in the will of the Lord. Immediately after the service tonight, we'd ask the choir to meet in the complex for a practice for next Lord's Day evening. And then on Monday, we continue our carol singing. I want to say thank you to those who came last night and this afternoon to the hospital, to Brooklands, to the Malaysian Manor, and then also to Sandown home there in Moneymore on Saturday evening. And we're going out again on Monday at 6:30, carol singing, visiting the housebound of the congregation, those who can't be in God's house because of physical ailment. We're visiting them tomorrow night. So we'd ask you to be here about 20 past 6, and we'll leave here for 6:30 sharp. Then on Tuesday, no parents and toddlers until after Christmas, but then on Tuesday at 6:30, once again, we'll be going carol singing. At 6:30, Brennan Court, Muckerfelt. 7:30, the Manor, home in the Pound Road, and then 8:30, Meadowell Fold. And again, we'll meet here about 20 past 6, and the bus will be going there so we can be in time for 6:30 in Brennan Court. Wednesday at 10 past 7 is our children's meeting for Muckerfelt Children's Meeting, and Sunday School Christmas Party commences at 7 and concludes at 9 p.m. And just remember that if your kids are on the bus, they'll be about an hour later home. Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. we have the Bible study and prayer meeting. We ask God's people to pray and come along to pray. We heard of the importance of prayer this morning and how we need God's people to come out and show that we are trusting in the power of prayer and in the work of God. We need the Lord to move in our church, and therefore we need God's people to pray. Saturday evening at 8 p.m, the Youth Fellowship are having a Chinese evening, and there'll be food there, and we'd ask you to be there for 8 p.m. on Saturday evening. Next Lord's Day, in the morning at 10:30 a.m, we have Ropeman Sunday School. The Sunday School classes have been preparing a Christmas program, and we would ask the congregation to come and support them and to watch there on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in the complex. Immediately after that, 12 noon, we'll have family worship here in the church, and then in the evening we'll have our Christmas carol service at 7 p.m. We would encourage you to invite your friends and family along. The choir and different groups will be taking part in the meeting, and then immediately after the meeting we'll be having supper in the complex, and we ask you to remember that and to help out in whatever way you can. We want to thank those who came to the CD release on Friday evening, for those who helped at it, and we thank you for your encouragement even in this service for the Lord. We do remember our brother and sister, Andrew and Naomi Simpson, as they have now arrived in Canada, and they will be having welcoming services today. And pray for them then as they travel up this week to Prince George, that the Lord will go with them and encourage them even in their first few weeks there in the work that God has called them to. There are little boxes with envelopes there for the collection. Now, if you have taken yours, that's good. If you haven't, you can look for your number out there. As you can see, they're not the little booklets we used to have. They're the little sheets are in the box. And I said this morning, be careful, don't drop them. And I will not confirm or deny if they were dropped in our house and they all fell out. But put it this way, hold them upright with both hands, okay? So they're good if they're in the box, right? If you would like some notes or some collection envelopes, please see your brother Raymond or brother Stephen, and they will be glad to give you some. And also, if you are paying tax and you are not as yet subscribed on the gift aid declaration, then please ask for that form, put your name down. It doesn't cost you anything, but we get some tax back into the church as a charity, and we would appreciate that. There are calendars available. As I said, the Let the Bible Speak calendar is available at £3. See your brother Barry. The Nepal calendar is available for a small donation, and you can see your brother Alistair Brown. And then the Missionary Council calendar is out in the hallway, and it's free, and you can take that on your way out. Prayer requests this week: the Reverend Ravi Pajupaleti and family and God's servants who are serving the Lord in India, the Reverend Morris McCackie and family there in Bristol, and then, of course, there is the retiring missionary offering after the service this evening. We want to express our sympathy to those families that have been bereaved in our community over this past week. The Howard family on the passing of Eric, the Moffat family on the passing of Richard, the McGreevy family on the passing of Jeanette, and the McMeekin family on the passing of Lily. And to each of these families, we do extend our Christian love and sympathy and pray the Lord will bless them at this time, and of course even speak to those who remain about the brevity of life. These are all our announcements, and make them subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to turn to our offering hymn at this point. It's 289, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me." We'll sing some verses of this, remaining seated, please. Verses 5, 6, and 7, and then immediately after that, the ladies are going to come up and sing their final piece. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Thank our sisters for singing the gospel and for bringing us to the cross of Calvary. And we're coming now to the Word of God, and it's Psalm number 14 that we're turning to tonight. And they didn't know what I was preaching on, I didn't know what they were singing, but it certainly ties in so well. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And that is the only wise response to the cross. But when we come to Psalm 14, we realize that there is another response to the cross. There's another response to the Lord. There's another response to the gospel. And it says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Before we go any further, you'll realize that the words there is are in italics. And therefore, that means they've been placed in by the translators to help with the reading and the understanding of the original text. But in the original, it reads, the fool has said in his heart, no God. We could take that two ways. It could be, there is no God, or no to the claims of God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? They were in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. (Clears throat) Our Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt come and give help in this meeting. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt take the words that have been read, write them in hearts. We thank thee for the words and song and for those who use their talents for the Lord. We pray you'll bless them, Lord, for taking part tonight. Pray, Lord, you'll bless this word. We need thy help. We need thy power. We pray you'll lead us and guide us, Lord, as we go through what thou would reveal to us tonight. And we pray most of all that hearts will be open to receive the truth of God's word. This is not my word, it's thine. It's not my wisdom, but it's God's. And therefore, I pray tonight, Lord, thou wilt come and bless this word to the hearts of men and women, young people. Let not one be the fool, Lord, tonight. Let not one in this meeting be declared by God and heaven to be a fool, but that all will be wise and consider their latter end and prepare to meet their God. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. And amen. What a dreadful day when you realize you have been the fool. In spite of your knowledge, in spite of your privileges, in spite of your friends, your warnings, and your conscience, you have made foolish decisions, and ultimately, by God, you have been labeled the fool. There are many people in this world, and they profess themselves to be wise. Spurgeon said that an educated fool is just an educated devil. And we need to be careful that we are not depending upon the wisdom of man, but that we are wise in the eyes of God. The description of the fool is given to several people in Scripture. We read in 1 Samuel 26 and 21, and Saul says these words, "Behold, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." Saul was jealous of David. And he felt that if he could get rid of David and if he could take David out of this world, then the throne would remain within his family and within his family circle. And we know that he sought to slay him on several occasions. We know he tried to thwart God's plans and go his own way until that day whenever David had the opportunity to kill him. But David said he wouldn't lay his hand upon the Lord's anointed. And Saul was suddenly brought to realize that he was playing the fool. And there are people in this meeting tonight, and you're living without God. And I trust and pray you will realize tonight, I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly. Then we think in 2 Samuel 3 and 33, where David laments over Abner. And he says these words, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." The word fool there means someone who's stupid, someone who's wicked, and someone who is vile. Abner died outside a place of refuge. And as David laments his passing, David was amazed that Abner was so easily taken in. You see, Abner was not a silly man, humanly speaking. He was an intelligent man. He was used mightily in the armies, and he was a man who was of great ability. And yet this man, who was so wise in the physical things and in the war field, was so foolish in a small decision. And that small decision cost him his life. David was amazed that he could be so easily taken in. You know, God's people are often amazed that the unsaved are so easily fooled, that they feel that there's life in the world. There's life in the alcohol. There's life in the drugs. There's life in the immorality. There's life in selfishness and sin and in deceit. And yet we have to remember, we all were there one time ourselves. That's how we felt. That's how we lived. We lived as fools. But David said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." You see, Abner wasn't in bonds, he wasn't in fetters, he wasn't tied up as a slave. He had the freedom to make a choice, but he made a very foolish choice. He made the wrong choice and it cost him his life. And tonight you can make a choice that will give you heaven and forgiveness and eternity with Christ. But there's many people living as if they'll never die. One of the Caesars of Rome said these words, "I have provided for everything throughout life except death." And there may be people sitting in this congregation, and that's exactly what you have provided for. You have everything you need to live. You've even paid for your funeral. My friend, you haven't prepared for death. And David said, "Died Abner is a full death," because Abner died outside a place of refuge, just a footstep away. And there are men and women and young people and your church people. You know what I mean when I say that. You come to God's house. You know how to dress in God's house, how to behave in God's house. You sing the hymns. You listen respectfully to the preaching of God's word. You give unto the work of the Lord. But you're not in Christ. And should you die tonight, you'll die as a fool dieth, just a footstep away from salvation, but lost for all eternity. It's interesting, whenever we look at Psalm 14, in verse 2, it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And in our natural state, there's not one of us understand how serious sin is, and there's not one of us will seek God. Look, verse 3, "They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." And there's not one of us can put our hands up and say that without Christ, there's something good in our lives. There's something that's profitable in our lives. Something that counts for eternity. The Bible says there is none that doeth good. No, not one. But here's the amazing thing. Why there is none that is good, and there's none that holy, and there's none that is right. God stands and offers mercy and pardon and love and forgiveness, and the fool stands and says, "No, God, no, I don't want it." And tonight I want to look at some things that the fool says no to when he says, "No, God." First thing is this: the fool says no to God's word. The fool says no to God's word. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, and verse number 8, we read these words. "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." In your hand tonight, you hold the greatest treasure you can hold this side of eternity. Here is the living word of God. This is God revealing himself unto us. But the fool says, "I don't want to be confronted by God's word." A friend, you've asked people to come to God's house, and I've asked people to come to God's house. And they've turned to me and they've said no. And it's not just that they're rejecting me or you in saying no, but they're rejecting the word of God. They don't want to come because they know they will hear a word from God's word, and therefore God will be speaking to them. And the fool says, "No, I don't want God's word." And some of them seek to deny it. And you'll get some people, and you'll get some very clever people in the eyes of the world, very educated people, and yet they will seek to deny God's word. You'll hear people say, "Oh, it's a fairy tale. It's old-fashioned, it's not for today, it's full of errors and inconsistencies." And you ask them to point them out, they'll not be able to, because of course they're only pulling up some argument that somebody else has used. And they will use everything they can to seek to deny the word of God and to take away from its authority. But the authority of the word of God is not in how it is received by people. The authority of the word of God is in who it is given from. God has given his word. And should millions and millions and millions of people stand up and say, "We don't believe this is true. We don't believe this is from God. Or we don't believe this is right. Or we believe this is error." It doesn't matter. It's still God's word and it still is the authority of heaven. It depends on God revealing it unto us. And some seek to destroy it. And we know through Scripture and through the history right up of the Christian church up to this very day, there are times that God's word has been burned. There are times that God's word has been banned out of countries. There are times that God's word has been knifed. We see that in Scripture. They took a knife and they sought to cut up God's word. There are times it's been torn by hand. And whether you say, well, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't actually destroy a Bible, for I have some respect. You've been living your life saying no to God's word. I don't agree with it. I don't want it. It's not for me. No, God, don't speak to me. And you avoid missions, and you avoid church, and you avoid preaching, and you avoid even gospel music that brings biblical truth, because you don't want to be confronted to God's word. What the Bible says? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, no God. But not only that, we find that the fool says in his heart, no to God's standards. No to God's standards. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. And it says there, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Of course, the counsel they're speaking of here is God's word. And wisdom and true wisdom, spiritual wisdom, is when we listen to and obey God's word. But here we're told the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, nobody will tell me what to do. Nobody will tell me what is right, and nobody will tell me what is wrong. Now, there is right and there is wrong. There's absolute holiness and there's sinfulness. And God has declared what is right and good and pure and true, and he's also declared what is sinful and evil and wicked and rebellious. But we seem to be in a day and in a society where right and wrong, the line is being blurred. And they're merging together. There are no absolutes anymore. You can't say that that was right. And you can't say that that was wrong. In fact, you'll find this world today seeks to promote and applaud sin as something that is to be looked up to. And they seek to demean and demote that which is godly as something to be looked down upon. You know, the devil wants to turn God's law upside down. God's standards that were put in place before the fall of man, and that includes marriage, and that includes the Sabbath day, they're under great attack from the devil. The Ten Commandments. You can read down the Ten Commandments tonight, and you will find that every single one of those commandments, the devil has one desire for them, to make sure that everybody desires the opposite. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. The way of the world, the system of the world, the desire of Satan is to use the Sabbath day for whatever purpose you want to use it for, as long as it's not used for God. Honor thy parents. Honor thy parents. And we know that the world today, there is a horrible attitude of ingratitude, no thankfulness, no respect for authority. It's seen in schools, it's seen in homes, it's even seen in churches. A friend, that is the fool saying no to God's way. We're not to commit adultery. I'm sure the world says today, you can do whatever you want with whomsoever you want, and don't you dare look at me or expect me to go to your standard. We're not to covet. And we're coming up to a time of Christmas, and yes, we can want things and we can desire things, but there's a multi-billion-pound business coming up to these seasons of the year, and they're telling you can't live without this and you can't live without that, and people desire things that they can't afford, and they're living trying to pay from one bill to the other so they can have the things that make them found in debt, make them miserable, but they can't live without it. You go down the commandments. You see each one of those commandments. And the fool says in his heart, no, I don't want those standards. I don't want those ways. I'm telling you something tonight. You speak to a Christian who's living for the Lord, and you'll find that they will testify that when you keep God's ways, you are blessed. Many of the problems that God's people face are because they disobey something that's clearly revealed in God's word. And oh, how much easier and blessed our lives would be if we simply obeyed God's word. You see, the fool says that God's laws do not give freedom, but rather they bring bondage. The fool says God's laws are backward, as taking a step back. They say that God's laws cause trouble. And even today, there are those that say God's laws are abusive. And there are certain parties and certain groups of people who are trying in different governments around this world to pass legislation to say that if a parent teaches their child from the Bible about heaven, about hell, about sin, about judgment, about the Lord dying on the cross, that that could actually be counted as child abuse. That's how far the sinner will go. And those things are being forwarded and petitions got up and people are seeking to push this evil, wicked, hell-driven agenda. And the very basis of it all is this. They want to say no to God. You might say, I'm a good person. Then if you're saying no to God, you're a hell-deserving sinner. You need a Savior. And while you may break the boundaries of God's law, and everyone has by birth, and you sin willfully and willingly against what God commands as right and wrong, there are two of God's boundaries that you will not escape. And one is death, because God has appointed that bound. And the other is God's judgment. A friend, you can play fast and loose with your soul. And you can consider yourself the big man or the great woman who's able to do whatever they want to do. And I'll not be told what to do. And God won't tell me what to do. God will tell you when you're leaving this scene of time. And you will stand before him. And friend, it won't be no God on that day. It won't be I'm the big person on that day. But rather God will declare, I never knew you. You'll give an account for your life of sin and rebellion. And then into eternity, into hell forever. No God. No God. Then the fool also will say no to God's existence. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And the thought here is this, that this trusting for life and trusting for eternity is in my own heart rather than in the Lord. And there are many people living like that today. I don't need God. And in fact, they go even further and they say, I don't believe in God. Do you know what the basic argument for someone who says they don't believe in God? You know what it is? It's this. If there is a God, and if this book is true, I'm in great trouble. So you know what? I've decided there is no God, and I don't believe in God, and that's me sorted. Man, what a fool. What a fool. You can say I don't believe in gravity. But I tell you, you jump off a building and you'll soon realize it's true, whether you believe in it or not. And just because you say tonight in this meeting, I don't believe in God, that doesn't take away from God. God's still real. God's here in this meeting tonight by his presence, by his spirit. And friend, you can deny God's existence. But the Bible tells me that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God. And the fool will say, I don't believe in God. There is no such person is God. I want to encourage God's people tonight. While there is a great move in atheism, and while we saw a few years ago the society getting those posters in the back of the buses, there probably is no God, so enjoy life. And why we see it coming more and more into schools, and why we hear it more and more even talked about in television that there is no God, I don't want God's people to be discouraged, because remember that the Lord says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And why the number of so-called self-professed atheists may grow, God will still save his people. And God's work will be successful. And God's work will be going on, and the kingdom of God will be built. But we do live in a world system today that basically denies God. We have to be pluralistic. We have to include everybody. We have to do this and we have to do that. And we have to bring the one true and living God down to the level of all other religions and false gods. Friend, we don't. The Bible says, beside me there is none other. He is God. And we declare him to be the one true and living God. And in a world that accepts everything and anything but the one true and living God, we need to be proud to stand and say, he's my God and he's my Savior, and I'm not ashamed. Now, we will be mocked and ridiculed and scorned. But friend, better to be scorned and mocked by the world than to stand before God and be declared a fool. Then the fool says in his heart, not only no to God's word and no to God's standards, no to God's existence, he says no to God's Son. This is not a new thing, because in Scripture, do you remember in the New Testament, they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. That was the cry of the people. We will not have this man to rule over us. And there's people here in this meeting tonight, and that's what you're saying. When you were asked to come to church tonight, you said in your heart, I will not have Christ. So we sang the hymns tonight. Your attitude is, I will not have Christ to rule over me. As I opened the prayer tonight and prayed, the Lord will work in hearts and save souls tonight, you were saying, I will not have this man to rule over me. And you're sitting here with a hard heart as we preach the gospel, and you're saying, no, not for me. He will not have authority and control in my life. And you're saying no to God's Son. You know what the Bible says? I fool. What a fool. No to his deity. All the world will raise up many people who will stand and say that there was a man called Jesus and he did live, but he wasn't the Son of God. And they'll try and explain it with human rationalization, make accusations against his sinless character and who he was and what he stood for. I remember one time hearing a bishop in the Church of England in the year of the millennium, as they were going through each century and the programs talking about how Christianity has developed over the century, and there were different people in the panel not professing salvation, but he was supposed to be the religious one. He was supposed to be the one that was going to speak for Scripture. And he said, I couldn't tell people that Christ was able to walk on water, or that he was able to raise somebody from the dead. Those were things that were planned beforehand just to excite the crowd and gather people together. No to his deity. What will it be for that man to stand before the holy God? He professed to know God and to lead people to God and yet strip the Lord of his deity. Then some people will say no to his cross. And there could be people sitting in this service tonight. And it's not that you don't want to be in heaven, but you don't want to come by the cross. It's my way, it's my work, it's my worth. Friend, read over Psalm 14 again. There's not one that's good. No, not one. If we're depending upon your work, you'll be in hell. If I'm depending upon my worth, I'll be in hell. But the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that whenever we're saved, the Lord takes our sinfulness and our worthlessness and our evil nature, and he takes it to himself. But praise the Lord, he gives us his righteousness. He makes us worthy by imputing to us his righteousness and his goodness. I'm not getting to heaven because of me. I'm getting to heaven because of him. I'm not accepted because I try to preach God's word. I'm accepted because I'm trusting in Christ. And friend, if you will not have God's Son as your Savior and the cross as your only plea, then you will not have heaven. And saying no to God's Son, they say no to his deity, and some will say no to his cross, and some will say no to his call. Someday you'll hear God's final call to you. To take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew. God's final call. God's final call. I remember in the mission in Castle Dawson in 2012. We remember that mission so affectionately. There was a real move of God. There were several souls saved and dealt with in those meetings. We thank God for it, and some are here tonight in God's house going all well with the Lord, and we rejoice in that. But I remember one lady, and she was troubled in the meetings. She came night after night, and you could see the concern and the care in her face. And one of the brothers of our church spoke to her and spoke out in the car after the meeting. They were sitting in the car well over an hour, talking about the things of God. She wouldn't come. God was calling her and she wouldn't come. And you know, I've never seen her in a meeting since that I've been involved in. 2012. See, friend, you can't reject Christ for the last time. And if you hear God's voice calling you tonight, then don't be a fool. Don't be the fool that says, no, God, not for me. Don't be the fool that says, Lord, stop talking. God might take you at his word, or your word. No to God's word, no to God's standards, no to God's existence, no to God's Son. No to God's heaven. Everybody has a theory of what will happen after they die. For some, it's the greatest delusion you would ever hear. And yet, that's what they're holding to. You see, for some people, the afterlife for them is made up of their own imagination. Well, you know, I'd be at rest. I'm saying no to God, but I'll be at rest. No, you won't. Do you ever hear of a troubled film star or pop star dying tragically because of the abuse of drugs and the body and the alcohol? And their friends and their co-workers come on the television screen and say, oh, they had a troubled time, but at least they're at rest now. Friend, they're not. They're not at rest. There is no rest for the wicked, as Scripture says. There is no rest for the ungodly. There is no paradise for you tonight, friend, if you're not saved. There's no hope of heaven. You're not going to float down some magical river somewhere. You're not going to float around in some cloud. You're not going into a place where troubles are over. You're going into a place where troubles are beginning. And if all you can say to me tonight is, preacher, I think this happens after I die, then you're the biggest fool in this place. Because God's word declares what happens after you die. The soul leaves the body and goes either to heaven if you're saved or hell if you're not. Saying no to God means saying no to God's heaven. You see, some people have this unbiblical view of God. I have spoken to people, and they're sincere people, and they have looked me in the eye and said, God couldn't send people to hell. Or the other argument I heard recently, just this past year, if God sent people to hell, it's only for a little while to refine them. And then when they've suffered for their sin, they'll be welcomed into heaven and paradise for all eternity, because that would be the nature of God. That's man's imagination. The nature of God is revealed to us in Scripture. The Bible says we're not to add to the book, or we're certainly not to take away from the book. And I tell you this, God is an eternal God. And his acts are eternal. I thank God when he saves someone, he saves them eternally. They cannot be lost. But I tell you this, you stand before God, and God says that you're to be cast into the place of the damned. That's an eternal act. And no man can take you out of hell. Just like no man can pluck the Christian out of the Father's hand or Christ's hand, nobody can deliver you from hell. That's an unbiblical view of God. And then I'll tell you this, and you might be surprised at this, but I guarantee there are people in this service thinking this way. They're thinking and basing their eternity upon some false hope that will never materialize. I'll not die. There are people today, and they're living like this, I'll not die. And say, how could anybody be living like that? I tell you, because they go out every day with the guilt and the burden and the record of their sin to their name, a heartbeat from hell, and they're living as if they'll never die. My friend, unless the Lord comes again, every single one of us will die. And every single one of us will have to say goodbye to this world. A friend, if you leave this world saying, no God, no Scripture, no to your Son, then you're saying no to his heaven. And I'm asking you tonight, and I'm challenging tonight, as we bring our meeting to a close, how are you going to respond to God tonight? How are you going to respond to God tonight? Are you going to say, no, God? Not for me, I'll take my chances. I'm on the way to hell, but I don't want you, God. I've no hope, but I don't want you, God. I'm a heartbeat from hell, but I don't want you, God. Our friend, are you going to say tonight, Lord, I've been a fool. I've been a fool tonight. And up to this point in my life, I've been living as if I'll never die. And up to this point in my life, Lord, I've been living as if I didn't need you. And I realize tonight, Lord, I need you more than anything. I realize tonight, Lord, I need you to save me or else I'm damned. I need you, Lord, to rescue me or I'll be lost. I need you to wash me in your blood or I'll be cast into hell. Friend, tonight God has brought you to a point of decision. What are you going to say? How will you answer? No, Lord, I don't care. What a fool. Yes, Lord, I'm coming. You say yes in your heart tonight, and you call on the Lord to save you. Friend, tonight in the seat that you sit, he will save you. And I pray with all my heart, you'll be saved. If you'd like to speak to me about the things of God, please let it be known in the hall. We'll take you into your room, show you from God's word the security of Christ and the wonderful assurance of salvation. Friend, I beg you, don't leave this church without Christ. Don't leave your seat without the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've been thinking about solemn things tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray you'll forbid it. Maybe that heart tonight that's saying, I can't wait to get out of here. Can't wait till this is over. Can't wait to get out of these clothes and into life again. Oh, God of mercy. Lord, there are precious souls here. They're not ready to meet thee. Lord, they don't see their need of thee, and they certainly don't care about thee. Oh God, tonight I pray that thou wilt come and shake them where they sit in their seat tonight. Cause the tears to fall. Cause conviction to be found within their heart. Lord, we do not pray this that they will just have some difficult experience. We pray it, Lord, that you'll bring them to the point of calling on thee for mercy. Lord, we're fearful lest there be one leave this meeting tonight for the last time and say no to God for the final time. Oh God, give wisdom. Don't allow one to be lost. Lord, what has been of thee, let it live on and prosper. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground. Glorify thy Son, we pray. Save the lost. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.